It's pleasing to note that there is an increasing number of high-quality games out there that blind people can now play using Windows-compatible equipment. But what about blind and sighted people playing together? What about the fact that when many of these games for the blind get brought up, sighted people seem to lose interest because they're generally not terribly graphically intense? A company called Zform wants to change all that. They have an ambitious project in the works, and what's most remarkable of all is that when it comes to fruition, the game will be free for you to obtain. Paul Silver from Zform joins me now to tell me more. Paul, who and what is Zform? And I presume Zform is how you pronounce it, since you're in America, right?
Yes. I've noticed some of the Europeans have tended to pronounce it Zform, which pointed out to me that other people pronounce the letter Z differently. Plus, Americans always have a hard time understanding that. But it began about 3 years ago when co-founder Jeremy Spitzer and I, our fellow co-founder Jeremy Spitzer and I, realized we had a passion to create games. We both had academic careers we were pursuing, I in physics and him in landscape architecture. And we realized that this passion was too strong to completely let go, so we decided to continue our education but to research this on the side. In the years that have followed, we have discovered that this passion was well-founded, and that there was a place indeed for us to put all this energy. And it was last summer that we realized that there was a big need for games for the blind and visually impaired. And so we sent out an email to every single school and visually impaired organization that we could find email addresses to, asking them do they think they would be interested in having someone develop games. And within 24 hours, we had dozens of responses from around the world. We had only sent them in the United States, but we had things from South Africa, Austria, Australia, and so we realized that we were probably onto something. Since then, we've been working full speed, and I was finishing my degree in physics and somehow was able to work on the company at the same time. And we've been pushing ahead and making great progress and trying to make games that are accessible to the blind, but also have a graphical user interface that allows sighted players what they expect so that they can play the game with their blind friends and family.
How did you become aware of that need in the first place?
There was a computer science student who was living two floors down from me in my dormitory. His name's Timothy Keenan, and he's blind. And I would correspond with him and hang out with him because we had some courses together. And when I'd hang out with him, I started finding out a bit about, you know, what he would do for fun, and I saw the games that he was playing. Later on that summer, I realized that there was a real opportunity because no one was making games for the blind. At that time, I didn't know about PCS and the other companies. But there were certainly no mainstream producers. So that's what gave me the idea. Since then, Tim has been a great help and has joined our team a few months ago so that we have someone who is blind to give us the right perspective to make sure we're doing things properly.
It seems interesting to me that all of a sudden there are a number of companies putting out some pretty good quality stuff in the blindness games arena, which until recently was reasonably sparse. What's going to set you apart from those others who already have games out in the market right now?
Oh, that's a great question. And the real difference is that the other companies have done a stupendous job of taking bare-bones resources and producing really quality stuff with them. And I've talked with most of the developers and have very good rapport with them. And I'm amazed at what they do. What Zform is, we originally started off, you know, 3 years ago, we just wanted to be a game company, period. And since then, we realized that there was a tremendous opportunity to make games for the visually impaired. But we still came from the world of the mainstream game developers. So we have a very different outlook on how to produce a game. So we're going to be generating games that instead of having, you know, a 2 month development cycle with, you know, two guys working part time out of their garage, which is a very respectable thing to do, we're going to be having a team of 5 or 6 people working full time for a year to generate one game. So the quality level on that game is going to be something that just can't be achieved anywhere else, because no one has the resources to dedicate to do that. And then we're going to give that game away for free. And the way that all happens is that there are large corporations that we are approaching that are interested. They have corporate gifting departments, which look for charitable activities, and they try to sponsor them. This is a charitable activity because we're trying to create games that bridge the gap between the blind and the sighted so that they can play games again. The last time of which they could really do that was during the age of the Infocom game in the mid-80s.
I remember them well.
Yes, yes. Remind me to get back to that. There's one of the people on our board of advisors was on the development team for The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. So these large corporations are interested, and have already, you know, pointed out to us that they are very interested in sponsoring this kind of activity and paying my company so that I can have a salary and all the programmers can have full salaries and put bread on their table for their families and have a real career. And if the large companies are paying the bills, that means that we can provide the game free of charge to anyone who wants it.
And to date, response has been favorable for that kind of idea, has it, from those who you're seeking money from?
The response has been very favorable with all of our initial inquiries. We had to stop them because we were such a young company, we didn't have a lot of credibility lined up, and we had just done initial forays and talked to our advisors, who are really world-class game programmers and or people in the accessibility or assistive technology field. So what we wanted to do was build our company up so that we could approach these large corporations and talk to them directly instead of indirectly and get solid answers, get yeses, get checks, instead of just getting maybes or that sounds interesting. And so that's what we've been focusing on for the past few months. And we just reached our first deadline that now enables us to, we'll be approaching these companies now during the next few weeks is when it'll all begin.
I wonder about the impact that will have on relationships with other game developers in this field, because you mentioned that relations are pretty good right now, but if they're having to sell their games and you're able to give yours away, will that strain things a little?
That was an important concern, and I discussed it with James North from ESP Softworks and with Philip Blask from PCS. I hope that's how you pronounce his last name. I apologize if I'm wrong. And as we're only going to be producing one game a year at most, our development cycle will probably start to stretch to be about a year and a half to reach the quality levels that we're looking for. One game a year just isn't enough to satisfy the market. I mean, no matter what kind of game we make, no matter how high quality it is, not everyone's going to want to play that game, which means there'll always be a demand for games that fit particular niches or that will, you know, there'll be more than a demand for one game a year. And so these companies really, they shouldn't notice a hit in their sales at all. Hopefully it'll only increase excitement about games for the blind and visually impaired and increase their business.
Given that market forces then aren't going to determine your priorities, what is determining the project that you're working on now? What made you come to the conclusion that the thing that you're embarking upon, that we'll talk about shortly, was the way to go for your first project?
All right. There's a couple of really important factors. Of course, if we're going to be giving this game away for free and someone's going to be paying for it, that someone wants to know that a lot of people are going to enjoy it because they want to make sure their money is going to a good cause and it's going to reach a lot of people. And to that extent, that's why there is a story component to our game, because we have seen that interactive fiction has, by and large, been the most popular form of game among the blind community, and it's very story-centered. And in all honesty, I come from literary roots, and one of the core people on our team is a professional writer. And so we wanted to have story as an important element in our game anyway. Also, because we're a very young company, we don't even have all of our programmers. We only have one of the programmers for our team right now. We don't have the money to hire the rest of the programmers, and we're looking to hire truly professional people with, you know, established records and resumes. So as we don't have that team assembled, we don't want to pick a project that's going to be too big for us. So we picked a chess-like strategy game that we designed in-house so that we can definitely produce that game. It will be done in the year, and we will have a success. As a young company, it's very important to establish that first success and get something out. And we are going to keep the quality level high enough that it should reach a broad enough audience. While it is a chess-like strategy game, which tends to appeal to a smaller subset of the population, we've got embedded into the game a really thick and zesty story based on Celtic mythology, where there's been a very good amount of research done into that mythology from our local Celtophile, Sean Murphy, to provide something for other players who are looking for something beyond just chess.
I couldn't think of a better name for somebody expert in Celtic matters than Sean Murphy.
It does come in handy.
Yeah, it does. So what more can you tell us about this game? It sounds pretty ambitious and very exciting. It's internet aware, right?
That is correct. The major features of the game, I mean, it's a, so it is a, the same genre as chess. You know, there are pieces, you can move them across the board, you capture opponent's pieces. The goal of the game, loosely defined, is to sort of own territory, whereas in chess it's to pin a piece, the king in a certain location. But beyond that, what the computer game really has, is what I just described with the board game that the computer game is based off of. The computer game has the ability to play over the internet with any friend. You can play against artificial intelligence opponents at home, of course. The game supports not only two players, but three players and four players simultaneous internet. And it has the embedded storyline to allow people to go through this, you know, Celtic mythology, this story that we're going to create, which is grounded in this myth. And there'll be access to real Celtic resources to find out the truth, the true myth that we used as inspiration. Another important element that we're building into the game is the ability to play movies, which means that as you play the game, you can have a little recorder keeping track of the moves that you and your friends make. And when you're all done, you have a little file that you can exchange with your friends or send to the Z-Form website, and we can distribute it. So that the, you know, we could have the Masters competition and we could have everyone get together. And then anyone who missed the chance to see the game could download the file and see it at home or see their favorite games that they played against the computer.
In terms of the accessibility of these games, are they going to require a screen reader or will they talk and can a blind person interact with them totally standalone?
The current design calls for the game to be completely self-voicing. There are so many different kinds of screen readers and so many issues with being compatible with all of them that we want to make sure we're hitting as many people as possible, and the best way to do that is through a self-voicing system, we feel.
And will there be synthetic speech involved in that, or is it going to be pre-recorded voice files entirely?
We're planning on using completely, professional voice talent. We've got a wonderful pool of voice actors in this area, Amherst, Massachusetts. One of the people on our board of advisors is Joseph Minton. He's the CEO of Cyberlore Studios, a professional, mainstream game development house, been around for 7 years. And so he has access to tremendous resources of professional people and studios, which he has made available to us and helped us out greatly.
What's the ETA for this game? When are you expecting to have it out to market, or at least in perhaps a beta version?
Well, our development cycle calls for 1 year from the time that we start developing it to the time that the final product is put out. The beta will come out several months before that, and there will actually probably be an alpha release several months before that that will allow us to put out a more primitive version of the game, but that allows our users to tell us what features they really like and what features they don't like. Seeing as how we don't have to sell the game, that means that we don't have to worry about giving things away. So that means we can release the game and let the audience decide what they really want, and then we can change the features to be more along the lines of what they want. And then the beta can be something where they have the game that's more like what they wanted, and now they can just help us refine the technology. But 1 year from the time that we start development, it will take several months from now to acquire all the funding, depending on how quickly the corporations decide that they like this idea.
And it must be a bit of a coup for your company that you have somebody from Infocom with that kind of interactive fiction background on your board of advisors.
Oh, our entire board of advisors is a coup. The particular woman you're mentioning is Patricia Pizer. She's a 12-year veteran of the industry and is absolutely spectacular. She just has experience in all kinds of things and is incredibly excited about what we're doing. And when she found out that the blind community was still singing the praises of The Hitchhiker's Guide, the glow that came on her face was something to see. She's very excited about helping us do that. Joe Minton, I already mentioned, is the CEO of Cyberlore Studios, one of the most socially conscious game companies I've ever met, and he's also very interested in seeing what this company can do and how we can help create more accessible technology for the blind community and hopefully bring together the sighted and blind communities. And the last member is Colin Twitchell, who is the head of the Lumelton Assistive Technology Development Center at Hampshire College. It's a member of the Lumelton program, and he has spent his entire adult life building universal design equipment to help various kinds of handicapped people become more able-bodied, like all-terrain wheelchairs and things of that nature. And he has also been a tremendous aid to us.
Given that you've got all that talent, and you've obviously got the ability to go out and get the financing and things, what motivates you to stay in this small market when, with all that talent, you could probably make a killer game that would sell millions to the sighted market and make you very wealthy? I'm just interested in teasing out that motivating factor a bit more.
Oh, well, that's a great question. All right, so the truth of the matter is that we probably couldn't do that. The professional, the mainstream computer game market is viciously competitive to the point where many very good companies that have, you know, a team composed of veteran programmers that have been doing it for 10 years, and instead of having two recent college grads for their leaders, they have, you know, people that have been veterans of the industry also, and those companies go under every year because of how volatile the industry is. So as a young company trying to, you know, become something and trying to build ourselves and last for a long time, we don't want to just appear and be a flash in the pan. We'd like to be a name that becomes a household name that people get to recognize 10 years from now. You know, that everyone remembers who Z-Form is. And so the visually impaired community is the perfect place for us to start, because it's a place where we can make a name for ourselves. And people want to help us. And the more and more we have investigated and put energy into making games for the visually impaired, the more and more we've fallen in love with the idea of doing it. And we know that we will be providing visually impaired accessible functions in our games no matter where we go in the future.
I think that's probably one of the most exciting aspects of all of this, is that so often when you bring up a game that a blind person can play, you have a sighted colleague somewhere yawning, and yet this is obviously going to be very graphical, very exciting for sighted people to play too.
Oh, that is exactly the design, because if it isn't graphically stimulating, then the sighted players won't be there. And you heard about the call to arms email. That's how you got in contact with me. So for the people that don't know, there was this email that we sent out letting everyone know that this is the design for our game today, and we'd like to know if you like it. And if you do, send us an email saying that you do, because in order for these large corporations to give us this money, they need to know that the community wants it. So I respond to every single email personally. And while going through them, I've just received some very, very powerful emails. I've received more than one husband and wife pair, one of whom is blind and one of whom is not usually, saying how they would love for something where they could finally play together and be at equal terms. I've had brother-sister pairs talk about how they can't really play lots of games together and this would give them a chance. And I heard one from a college student who 4 years ago lost his eyesight, but 5 years ago was playing the same computer games I was. And when he mentioned them, I fondly remembered them and tried to imagine what that experience could be like. And now those same friends that he had 5 years ago are still there, but they're playing these games, and now he can't participate. And to think that Z-Form will be able to create something that will allow him to participate with those friends that he's always had is just one of the most heartwarming things that I can imagine, and I am very happy to be dedicated to that kind of a mission.
So it sounds as if the responses you're receiving are exceeding your expectations.
We have not received as many responses as we would like, mostly in part because we have not sent out, we have not advertised very widely. We've only directly mailed two mailing lists. We are a small company, and with our requirement, we would like to respond to every email individually. And seeing as how our company doesn't pay us yet, we all have part-time or full-time jobs on the side. So that means that we have to be very careful about how much email we have coming in so that everyone that sends us an email will get a response in a timely fashion. I don't want someone to send me an email and get a response a month down the road. I don't think that that's responsible. And so we haven't quite sent out as much as we would like. But of the responses that we have gotten back, which is on the order of dozens and dozens, just the quality of the writing that some of these people have put in, or the emotional intensity of what they've written has been really moving. And if we get, you know, a ton more emails like this, I don't think there's going to be much way for these large corporations to say no.
We'll come back to contact information towards the end here, but let me ask you about the significance of the name Z-Form. Does that have any particular significance?
Oh, actually, it does. It's a common question because it's a very unique name, which was good for trademarking purposes. When I was in high school, I fancied myself an author. And through some device I have never quite figured out, I came up with the name Z-Form Rosmith as a pen name. And so I wrote a novel under that pen name, and of course it didn't get published or anything. It's sitting on a hard drive somewhere. And I always loved that name, Z-Form. And so a few years later, when I was in college, sitting in Jeremy Spitzer's dorm room, the co-founder, we were thinking about making this game company, and we just thought that that was such a cool name, that that's what we were going to name our company. And it's been that way ever since.
It's a bit like Zaphod Beeblebrox, but different.
Yes, yes indeed.
Okay, is there a website at this point for the company?
Oh, most certainly. There's been a website for over a year. It's not too shockingly at zform.com or www.zform.com.
And how do people voice their support? I guess there'll be email links if people go to that website, but if people wish to just contact you and express support, hopefully very eloquently so that it can be sent along to the powers that be, how do they contact you by email?
They can contact, if they would like to respond to the call to arms, just please send email to feedback@zform.com. If they would like to write me specifically to ask any kind of questions, they can write to paul@zform.com. And generally, if you type anything at zform.com, it comes to me. So if you misspell it, it'll be all right.
That's terrific. Well, I'm sure that we'll have you on Main Menu again in the future as these plans come to fruition. Wish you all the best, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you very kindly, Jonathan.